On this Air Check episode, we continue our session with Steve Craig, Atlanta's morning man on 97.1 The River.
This is the final episode with Steve, part 4 of 4, where Steve talks about his return to Atlanta at 97.1 The River after his time at WRXP in New York, his love of being a pilot, and the story of how he was one of the first private pilots to fly post-9/11 as he was involved in transporting the Red Cross blood donations and his involvement with what turns out to be the first radio station website in 1994.
Let's do it.
Welcome to Air Check Season 4, a podcast about radio's personality from radio personalities, managers, consultants, owners, and your most humble hosts from Philadelphia, Rich DeSisto and Paul Kelly.
I'm Rich DeSisto.
And I'm Paul Kelly.
This is part 4 of a 4-part series with Steve Craig, mornings on 97.1 The River in Atlanta. In our last conversation, Steve told us about a very cool radio promotion where a listener won a free concert from Foo Fighters in their very own garage.
Literally, this guy won a contest to have Dave Grohl and Foo Fighters, the full band, play in his garage for his neighbors.
An encounter he had with actor Pat Buttram, the infamous Mr. Haney on Green Acres.
When the promotion was done and Pat Buttram was 5 sheets to the wind, Ray Webb, who was our owner, said, "Hey, Steve, I want you to take Pat home. Go ahead and drive him home to Los Angeles, and he'll give you directions and everything. Here's my keys. Take my car."
Plus, how he had the pleasure of working with one of his radio idols, the real Don Steele.
And the real Don Steele was on KHJ in L.A., and he was just larger than life. He was one of these guys, it was like, 93 KHJ, it's the real Don Steele, it's 24, and I'm banging my head on the console.
Ladies and gents, one more time, let's hear it for Steve Craig.
Steve, we learned about your journey from 99X in Atlanta to WRXP in New York City. Now let's find out how you found yourself back in Atlanta doing mornings on 97.1 The River.
When I came back into Atlanta, I was talking with a fan, actually a guy who had listened to 99X for a long time. His name is Dave Clapper, and he was the program director at 97.1 The River. And so he knew I was back, and I was working part-time at just another station in Atlanta to come back. It was kind of like a temporary thing. And he said, "Hey, you know, would you like to come over and do weekends?" I went, "Sure, yeah, I'd do anything." So I started doing weekends, and it's a classic rock station. So we're playing everything from the Beatles and the Doors and Hendrix and CCR up through the 80s stuff, Bon Jovi, Aerosmith, Guns N' Roses, Motley Crue. But we also still sprinkle in Billy Joel, Elton John, Fleetwood Mac, stuff like that, and we have a really, really good mix with it.
Atlanta's newest radio station is 97.1 The River. Make the switch. The new 97.1 The River.
He said, if you want to, we can start maybe using some of your old features if you want to, you know, come in during the week and do like a Steve's College of Musical Knowledge question and answer thing, or if you want to do like a special news type of feature. So I said, sure. So I was doing the weekend shift, and then during the week I would do these different artist type of segments and just kind of utilizing my name in the market, I guess, if you will. And then it started to catch on. People, "Oh, Steve Craig, I remember him from 99X, he's back." And so people were calling up, and then management eventually said, "You know, why don't you give the guy a shift?" Because they were jockless in middays. They were just doing they had a morning show. Katie Kylie, who had been years at 96 Rock here in the market, she's another legend in Atlanta. She's been around for the market for like 40 some odd years.
96 Rock FM AM, Katie winding up 7 in a row with Billy Squire from the album Emotions in Motion. And want to remind you to join the 96 Rock Wake Up Crew Monday through Friday from 6 to 10 a.m. Mark McCain, Kelly Kincaid, Steve Mitchell, Mr. B, the
She was doing mornings, and then all of a sudden I popped in and started doing more middays. And then my program director, Dave Clapper, was doing afternoons. And then we were kind of automated after 7 o'clock. And then that was working out real nice. And then they were saying, well, they did a market study and said, "You know, well, we like Katie Kylie where she was before in afternoons. And we love it when Steve Craig fills in for her in the mornings." So the market study said, "Hey, we're going to flip you guys." So then all of a sudden I was doing mornings after I was really enjoying sleeping in after after the last year of New York.
Hey, it's Steve Craig from The Steve Show. Mornings here at 97.1 The River. Been talking about classic rock now since 1978.
Hey, it's English Nick.
I said, look, you know, it's a one-man thing. I don't have a producer. I don't have, you know, a weather guy. I don't have any news person or whatever. No sidekicks. It's just me. And again, the same thing that happened in New York. They said, just do what you normally do for your midday or afternoon show. Do Steve's College of Musical Knowledge. Do maybe some rock news. We were going to start doing maybe a little hard news, but we kind of busted that because people are saying, "Hey, I don't want to hear about the politics. I don't want to hear about news. I just want music. I want Steve talking about music. I want Steve's College. I want trivia. I want all this talk about rock and roll." And so that's pretty much what we do. And it's nothing more than what people are now calling a listicle. It's just a list of like this date in history. And I'll find some, I've got some sources that I can find some notes on what happened on this day in 1968 when the band Cream played their first gig, or on this day, Nirvana released their Nevermind album, that kind of thing. We'll do that. We'll play some of the tracks as well. And we do an 80s at 8 feature. That's a little bit of a throwback to my old House of Retro Pleasure on 99X. But it's pretty much just me. And I learned, going back to the old KHJ years, with the Real Don Steele, one of the guys who was the one of the DJs that I loved on KHJ was Sam Riddle.
Sam Riddle, 93 KHJ.
Heidi Benesch of Los Angeles, early this morning on the Johnny Williams Show, said April 29. Her birthday matched up with a payday, and she's now $2,920 richer. Congratulations.
A lot of the guys would elaborate, and they would do a whole bunch of shtick, and it was all about them. It wasn't about the music. Sam was very, very good about getting in and getting out. And later on, maybe about, you know, 3-4 years into my career, I had a chance to meet Sam Riddle, and we were talking about it, and I said, you know, I'm just, you know, I haven't been very long in the business. So I go, you got any tips for me? And he says, TBI. And I went, what's that? He says, tight, bright, and informative. That's what you got to be. So you just be tight, bright, and informative. So all through my career, that's kind of what I've tried to be, is tight, bright, and informative. So just, you know, if you have something to say, don't adhere to like the 10 second rules. Like, you've only got 10 seconds to say something or we're going to fire you, or the PD will call you into his office. Just make sure that you know that say what you got to say, blend in with the music, and just be that little glue in between the music, because the music is always the star of the show. And the formula that we have, because our bits, you know, the features that I have are no longer than a minute, maybe a minute and a half. But it's always attuned to the music, and that's what people have flocked to with our station. That's what's made us always hovering around the top five, if not the number one station in the market, music station.
Hi, I'm Katie Kiley from 97.1 The River. I've been here a little over 8 years. The River music is classic hits, and that means a lot of classic rock, which we all grew up with. The other thing I love about our radio station is the locality. We love Atlanta, so we'll tell you what's happening in Atlanta, who's gonna be here. And then between English Nick and Steve Craig and myself, we have so many years in Atlanta radio. So I think it's always nice to be listening to somebody that you're very used to hearing and that we all kind of grew up together.
It's everything rock and roll and nothing but classic hits.
97.1 The River, Atlanta's classic hits.
Our competitor is our sister station, WSB, is the news talk station. They'll always be number one in the market. But as for music stations, we're always sitting at the top. So it worked.
Steve, you'll have to pardon me for slathering on a little piece of DJ geekdom here, but in the category of things that people don't know about you, I mean, what they do know is that you are the pilot of the airwaves. But I'm sure there are plenty of people that don't know you're an airline pilot. And Rich had mentioned earlier that there are certain dates in time where people know exactly where and where they were, what they were doing, and how they reacted. 9/11 happened. You're an airline pilot. What did you do?
Being a private pilot, actually, not an airline pilot, but just flying the small planes. Got my pilot's license back in the mid-90s here in Atlanta. And shortly after that, after I got my license, I started flying for Angel Flight. Angel Flight is a group of nonprofit. It's a nonprofit group of volunteer pilots, and we do medical flights, people who can't afford transportation to and from cancer treatment centers, burn centers, some of the hospitals that are hospital complexes here in Atlanta. We'll fly them in our own planes at no cost and kind of help them break down the barriers that are there. So I've been flying for quite a while when 9/11 hit. And of course, it was one of those things where I was up and getting ready to go into work. When I turned on the news, I saw the first tower smoking.
This just in, you were looking at obviously a very disturbing live shot there. That is the World Trade Center, and we have unconfirmed reports this morning that a plane has crashed into one of the towers of the World Trade Center. CNN Center right now is just beginning to work on this
and
story.
Obviously, at that point, my first thought was, it was a private pilot. It was one of our pilots, you know, hit the tower or something and didn't look like it was going to be that bad. And then the news reports started going, and then I saw the second tower get hit, and then, you know, the reality kicks in. And at that point, the radio station, the morning show, they had, you know, stopped pretty much, and we're dealing with all of that. And then we came in for my shift on 99X, and we dealt with listeners calling up. And just dealing with the emotions, dealing with a lot of the anger, a lot of the speculation, all of this. And so we, like the entire city did, we stopped and dealt with everyone's reactions and feelings to what was going on. And it took us a good full day almost to really get back to, you know, regular programming. And then it was. Unusual at best after that. And what as a private pilot, what I had an opportunity to do after 9/11, I was one of the first civilian pilots to actually get back in the air about 4 days after. Angel Flight was called upon to fly Red Cross blood samples to the processing center, which was in Southeast Texas. Near Houston area.
Many of the people calling our newsroom are asking the question, what can I do? And one thing that can be done is to donate blood to help the victims of today's terrorist attacks. The American Red Cross Blood Collection Center is packed right now. Benita Zahn is there, and she joins us now live. Benita?
Hi there, Lydia. Packed is probably an understatement. As you can see behind me, the line extends around the building. I know we can get a shot from on top of the our live truck here to give you a sense of just how many people are, in fact, here. I've been told by Red Cross officials that they anticipate that 1,000 units of blood will be sent from the New York Penn region to New York City today alone. Luckily,
so
in general,
we were taking all the blood that was being donated by people to the Red Cross. We would have to take the samples, you know, to then ship just the samples, not the actual blood, but the samples out to the processing center. So we as private pilots were flying all these blood samples. And one of the guys that I got to fly with during one of these missions was Brendan O'Brien, who is like the producer of Pearl Jam and Stone Temple Pilots and the guys back in the 90s. He was a pilot also and had just gotten his license. So I had a chance to fly with him on a couple of those missions, the blood flights, we call it. And at some point after that, I got to do one of these flights. And there was like some guys who had bigger planes than I had. I had like a little Piper Cherokee that was just a four-seater. And the guys who had the six-seaters were doing the cadaver dog flights. They were flying replacement dogs up to Ground Zero in New York, because as the dogs would go searching for any type of survival, any survivors in that, or any I hate to say it, any remains, those dogs, their paws were just getting torn up. So we were flying the dogs from a lot of canine police squadrons and flying these dogs up to relieve the original dogs that were up there at Ground Zero. So it was rewarding, and I had a lot of pride in being able to help after 9/11 with my aircraft and my association with Angel Flight.
How long was that process? I mean, 9/11 happened in 2001. How many weeks or months did you participate in this transportation?
Probably about maybe a week and a half. Yeah, we were making some of the flights up to about maybe 2 weeks, because then they realized that The Red Cross didn't need blood because there was nobody left. And you know, once they kind of got to the point where it became there was no more search and rescue operations to be made. It was just recovery and trying to clear everything out. So yeah, but for about maybe up to 2 weeks. I remember it was a strange night. My first flight coming back, and I was flying into Meridian, Mississippi, to drop off my blood sample, who was going to be dropped off to the Houston flight. As I was coming back into Atlanta, the sun had just gone down, and as I'm coming into Atlanta, I'm the only one on the radio. I'm the only one that they're talking to, and all I could see were these lights that looked like UFOs doing weird little. Quick little patterns. All of a sudden you'd see a light, and all of a sudden the light would move very quickly. So they were doing square patterns over the city, and they were just the fighter jets, the National Guard. And that was going on, I think, for probably about almost a week, I guess. Yeah. And that was just the strangest thing, to see all the jet fighters, you know, over the city while you're coming in, you know, to your small little airport. So.
Looking back on the stories that you've told us and hearing how they all played out, ownership and management at 99X kind of gave you guys, you know, carte blanche, as you put it. And when you were at RXP, you had a little bit of a free-form approach to radio.
Yeah.
Situations that are hard to come by these days in the modern world of
right.
This business.
Right. And back-to-back for me, which yeah. was wonderful. I had 17 years of that at 99X, and then I had, you know, 5 years of it in the New York. So, yeah.
How does that compare to your 10 years at 97.1 The River in terms of having the freedom to do the creative things that you want to do on your show?
What they trust me with, and what a lot of radio companies don't do anymore, everything is very researched, everything is very regimented. They only want the DJs to talk for 10 seconds, get in, get out, you know, say what you're going to say. It's usually never associated with the music at all. Everything we do is tied into the music. And I think myself and also Katie Kylie, who does afternoons for us, again, who's been in the market about 40 plus years, they trust us with context. And that's the word I always like to use when people ask about, you know, well, a programmer will come to you and say, why'd you play this song? Or they'll look at the list of songs that were played. Why'd you play this? What's this? You shouldn't play this. This isn't on our safe list. Why are you playing this? And they don't understand context. So today, for a good example, we really don't play Chicago that much. It's a band that we do touch on. They have a concert coming up soon. Today was Walt Perezader's birthday, and he's turned 77. So I use this as an excuse to play a little bit of Chicago and talk about the fact that he's still with the band, even though he's been diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. The guy is still there. He was a founding member of the band. He's the one who came up with the concept to put horns in a rock band. So you talk about that a little bit, and you play Saturday in the Park, or you play 25 or 6 to 4 and something like that. You put it into context. And I think my listeners know enough that he's got something going. He's going to play something kind of cool. And sometimes I'll even say, hey, this date in history, and I've got like a little intro that I play for it. And I'll say, it's an excuse to play a cool song. Here we go. And then you kind of go into whatever date in history or whoever's birthday it might be. And you get a chance to showcase something you might not otherwise showcase, or might be just in rotation. Same thing with the 80s at 8 that we do at 8 o'clock, play three songs from the 80s and stuff that we don't normally play. And it might be a quote deep cut from Motley Crue, or it might be something from, you know, Bon Jovi's early years, or A Flock of Seagulls, you know, something like that. But it's context. That's the thing. If you're gonna play something that's a little off of the normal. And that's the thing. People listen to classic rock for the favorites. You know, they come in for, you know, 15 minutes to 30 minutes, and they just want to hear their favorites. They want something that they know they can crank up and they can sing along to. But sometimes when you have a morning audience, a little bit more of a captive audience in the car, maybe give them something that's going to make them go, oh, I haven't heard that in a long time. Instead of just throwing it after a sweeper, you know, or something like that. When something like that just shows up and it's out of context, then it's like, what is that? And they
well, another good example of that is Dolly Parton, you know, looking to get herself off of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction list.
Yeah.
You know, it's newsworthy. I don't think anybody's ever done that before. So you play 9 to 5 for context, and you're going to get called into the program director's office. What are you playing Dolly Parton for? Well, there's your context.
Exactly. And that was always the big secret sauce, I think, for 99X was everything we did back then with alternative music was all in context, because there was so much that we could pull from. If you liked this song, which might have been, if you liked Smells Like Teen Spirit by Nirvana, you might also like this from Sugar or Husker Du or something, or the Pixies or something like that. So you could put all that kind of stuff in context. And the listeners at the time in the 90s, they were really longing for new music. And radio was radio back in the 90s. There wasn't Spotify. There wasn't a whole lot of internet radio at all. So we were pretty much it. So they were starved for the alternative music that was coming down. And so when we would give them something and say, hey, you like this? Well, what about this from the 80s? Or what about this? And we actually started, putting together features to do that, to showcase that. But it was all context. It was all being able to present. And then, again, when the corporate people took over in the mid-2000s, they were literally just looking at the list going, you're playing this, you're playing this. Why are you playing that? You shouldn't be playing this. Don't ever play that again. Don't do this. Don't, because they didn't understand what context was. So,
Steve, you were part of the website world of radio back at 99X. How do you go from that to where we are now in the digital space? Have you been attached to that trajectory from the website world, and how does that play into your role at the River? Are you guys do on the digital side? Are you doing podcasting, or are you doing any kind of social media video? Talk a little bit about how that journey has also paralleled your career from the 99X days.
Yeah, from the initial, and this would have been 94, I think, 94, 95, when the web started becoming a thing. We were all on CompuServe and Genie at the time. But we designed, we got together with literally just, it was a couple who had an internet provider set up literally in their living room. And they called themselves Internet Atlanta. And they ended up getting sold and ended up becoming Earthlink. That's kind of how the chain was. They became Mindspring, then became Earthlink. But as we were initially setting it up, we were finding out more about the World Wide Web, and a lot of college radio stations were doing scheduling. They were setting up websites on their individual sites, the early stuff, and they were just it was maybe a playlist or a schedule of their programming. Events happening at the university or what have you. So I was learning more about that through the folks over at Internet Atlanta. And they said, hey, you want to build a website? And go, we can host it. And sure. So our initial web URL was, this is how early it is, www.com/99x, that's how early it was. And so we had that, and people could go to it. The people who actually had access to that, I think through the early AOL or even on some of the college access routes that they had, you could get a graphic page that said 99X, and it had our logo on it. And it was the jock schedule. It was the concert calendar, the playlist for the day. We would update where we were going to be, for the weekend. And we had, I think, maybe 5 or 6 pages that would take up to 30 seconds to draw as you were pulling them up. But that was the first commercial radio station website. And from that, I started taking classes in HTML tagging and learned a little bit, and people were starting to put templates together. So I was designing a little bit of it, but it was starting, the technology was moving so fast that I didn't have time for it. And it was, I was starting to get over my head, and there was a lot more tech savvy people and people who understood coding that were, much more adept at it. So I kind of went, you guys go ahead and take that. I got the ball rolling. You guys go ahead and do this. And then we got together with some local artists, and we put together some really, really cool looking pages. And then it just kind of blossomed after that. And at the River now, I mean, everything, you have to have a social media presence. So we have, our my personal page. We have a brand page for all the personalities. We do Facebook Live. We do videos. We're getting into the Reels now. I don't do TikTok myself, but I do the Reels, Instagram, stuff like that. And so it's there. I mean, we try to keep, be as topical as we possibly can. We do have some people at the station who do podcasting. I'm working on one now with Nick Parsons, English Nick, who's our midday guy, and just a couple of guys talking rock and roll. You know, we're trying to put that maybe together with the station's help. And like every other station, you know, we're trying to keep that social media presence there as well. So,
Steve, I want to say thanks again for all the different names that you worked in. I actually did some work for Sean Demery when he was out at Kink. I did his local research. Kelly Music Research handled his call out research when he was there. He was a great guy to work with.
He was, I mean, he was by my best friend for years and years and years. We were very close. And when it all happened, it was, I went out to Portland five times actually. And I still keep in contact with Jennifer, his wife, you know, we're very mm-hmm. close too. And it was very sad to see him go. And I had a chance to see him and say goodbye, you know, the day before he was gone. And, but it was tough because he's the guy. I mean, that's an episode right there. Are the things that he taught me, the things that I learned early on, because when I was doing the early gigs, we were all talking like this all the time because that's what you were taught how to do. I learned from Sean, who learned from Jerry Clifton, another consultant, basically how to be guys on the radio. Don't talk up intros. Don't, you know, force your voice, everything. Just be a guy who's got a cool record collection and he's going to play you some songs. And that's what Sean built his persona on. And I always, you know, kept that close to me. And since we always worked together, we always worked in the same type of stations and formats. And so I always learned that from him. Again, I mean, he was my best friend, and it was very tough to see that happen, you know, to him. But what a legacy he left at 99X too, because of the things that he did. As the music director, he was the one who pushed a lot of the boundaries, and he is the one who got a lot of these bands started. And you know, Jennifer still has a wall of, you know, gold and platinum records to, you know, to prove it.
Wow, what a nice tribute right there.
A legacy indeed.
Season 4 of AirCheck continues. If you haven't already caught up, remember AirCheck Seasons 1, 2, 3, and 4 are always available. Season 1 includes Nina Blackwood of MTV, Danny Bonaducci of the Partridge Family, and SiriusXM's Eddie Trunk. Season 2 featured Kid Chris and consultant Fred Jacobs. And Season 3, we talk with rock historian Denny Somach and legendary record promoter Bobby Silver.
Every episode of AirCheck is available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Follow us to be alerted when new episodes are released. You can also tell your smart speaker to play AirCheck Podcast. If you haven't done so, give us a great rating. We'd also love to hear from you on our Facebook page, AirCheck Me.
This is Rich DeSisto.
And I'm Paul Kelly.
We'll talk to you soon.
Closing out another episode of AirCheck, a podcast about radio's personality from radio personalities. If you have radio stories to share, we'd love to hear from you. Join the AirCheck guest list. Email aircheckme@gmail.com. Musical props are Chris Gordon's. Announcer props, I'll take those. Greg O'Brien, the OB. AirCheck is available now on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also tell your smart speaker to play AirCheck Podcast. AirCheck is the creation of RDPK Productions.